Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other host, Sam. And today we are comparing Bohemian Rhapsody and First Man?
Yeah, because we hate ourselves.
Nah, they're both biopics. Makes sense.
But we should be comparing Bohemian Rhapsody to This Is Spinal Tap and First Man to The Martian. Maybe. And we'll just be like, boy, real life would be better if it was funny. And then we'd go home.
We're going to compare it to, compare them as biopics, though. How accurate are they?
Okay.
We'll give percentage of accuracy.
That's a terrible promise to make.
Stan Lee died.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't think he was dead initially.
I wasn't going to believe it until I saw the televised funeral, because that guy dies every year and has for the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah, when Kevin Feige, though, posts about it, it's kind of like...
Look, April's coming up. If we celebrate Christmas earlier and earlier this year, every year, why not April Fool's Day? This could be an epic lol. And he jumps out of the coffin and goes, Excelsior, true believers! And everyone laughs and goes, Stan! And everything's fine, and maybe he's not dead. That's all I'm saying.
We'll do an episode in a couple of weeks.
It's a fucking terrible loss. Anyway.
It is, genuinely. With that sadness aside...
Yeah.
Two other people.
Now on to the rest of the sadness.
Two other people who are also dead. Are we going to start with First Man or Bohemian Rhapsody?
I honestly don't know. Because I think... Look, spoilers for this whole what's more accurate thing. I think Bohemian Rhapsody is going to end up being more accurate. We're going to have a little bit less to say on it.
Maybe. We'll see.
That, and I've done way less research into it than you have.
Look, honestly,
I lost my car keys today. But anyway.
We use the same website to
inadvertently.
Look this up.
It turns out it's just a good website.
On notes.
Yeah, but see, I was just gonna like keep
read it off the
website.
Off the website, yeah. I did get some additional research from the lunar missions, but I just found interesting stuff they omitted from the movie more than.
So we're both reading from historyversushollywood.com, which is actually
cool website. I did some reading on Black Klansman.
Oh yeah.
Which
I didn't realize had anything to do with real life.
Yeah, I didn't either. Like, I knew it was... Like, they kind of implied that it was sort of based on true events, but, like really, a lot of it's quite real.
Mm.
Just like First Man, surprisingly.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, so let's start with First Man, I guess, then we'll do Bohemian. What did you think of the movie overall, first up?
I thought
Spoilers for First Man and Bohemian Rhapsody. Go.
I thought it was pretty boring. But
Fair
I
enough.
Think that was almost sort of the point.
Yeah.
Like, if any of our listeners are also fans of the Hello Internet podcast, a bit of what I'm going to say is going to sound a little repetitive. But it did seem like the whole point of this was to show you a movie where the guy is fully in control of his emotions the whole time. He lets nothing out, and that's why he's a good astronaut. And for any other movie type, that would be a shit character trait for your protagonist to have.
Yeah, that's fair. And one of the things that the movie apparently got spot on was that was Neil.
Yeah.
He was introverted, shut off for the most part, very enigma. And even, like, into his late life, he's still an enigma.
Mm.
Like, there's not a lot that is known about him.
Mm.
And there's a scene in the movie where he shuts himself in a room and he cries over his daughter dying.
Mm.
Which someone was quoted as saying, and I didn't write it down, that was something that they hadn't even considered he would do, even though it's obvious that he would have done that.
Mm.
Like, you're going to cry over when your daughter dies.
Yeah, of course.
Because of course you are.
Yeah.
No matter how introverted and closed off you are emotionally, you cry over that shit.
Mm.
But him throwing himself back into work, spot on, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, that sounds...
Jumped straight on it. Surprisingly,
that's totally relatable too.
That opening scene of him nearly bouncing off the surface of the earth—that was something that really happened.
Yeah.
The only problem with that scene was that the clouds were way too high for how high in the atmosphere he was.
Right. Okay.
But that's just a visual error more than a.
Well, and I think that's more of a, like, you think of Earth starting at the clouds.
Yeah.
Like the atmosphere starts at the clouds. Almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, it's a visual shorthand. Rather
so
than
that was a mission that originally, that was something that actually happened. Big controversy in the movie, though, was that they didn't show the flag getting
Oh, okay.
People are, like, really fucking angry that they didn't show the scene where they planted the flag.
See, I'm a little bit mad that we did... that the Americans did plant a flag up there.
Ah, well, you'll like this... you'll like some of the facts I got here.
Okay, cool.
So, they chose not to show the planting of the flag. Like, the flag's in it. You see the flag in the shot.
No, they don't make a big deal out of actually...
But they don't make a big deal out of planting, because the director said it wasn't a political statement, it just didn't feel relevant, because it wasn't about America's success, it was about humanity's success.
Yeah.
Which is something even... Because I've got a quote here which I found. It was really interesting. From President Nixon, a notoriously terrible person. One of the few presidents to actually quit before they got impeached. He said that it brought the world closer together than it has ever been before. Like, I know he's attributing that to America's success, but to include the world. He also had samples of the lunar dust. He had 135 samples plus 50 for each US state and some for the United Nations. All were given samples from the moon. From that one, as a gesture of goodwill. So Nixon did that nicely. Anyway,
yeah.
Funny thing about the flag planting, which they didn't show in the movie, was they actually struggled to plant it because they couldn't get it deep enough into the ground.
Because I imagine it's not a particularly thick layer of dust, and then there's no compression of the soil or anything.
Well, that's the thing. The dust is very fine, so it's just kind of...
And then it's just rock.
Yeah. But, and it's no, that flag's no longer standing. Buzz Aldrin himself has apparently said they planted it too close to the lunar module, and when they took off, it instantly got blasted down.
That's fine. I don't think they should have left it there at all.
They left a lot of shit there. Another scene they omitted was them taking off their backpacks and EVA suits and stuff and chucking a lot of it just onto the moon's surface so it lightened the load so they could actually get back up.
But see, for that purpose, I'm fine with it. The fact that they brought it up at all, like, how many hundreds of thousands of American dollars worth of rocket fuel did it cost to bring that flag up there? Admittedly, that many.
Not that much.
But the flag answer is not zero.
$6 to make. I learned that too. It was actually $5.95 or something.
Great.
US at the time. Another fun fact about the flags while we're on that.
Yeah.
So the US went up an additional 5 times, I think. 6, including the first lunar met. Landing.
Right.
They planted a flag every time. All those flags are still standing.
Yep.
However, because of the UV rays on the surface, they are all bleached white.
That's funny.
So they're now surrender flags. Or the French flag, as some people call it.
Sucked in.
The French.
I'm liking these flag facts. Spoilers for my chunk of this episode. There are far fewer fun facts.
About flags?
About flags.
Man, I love a flag fact.
Bit of a vexillology
fact. Also, 3 new minerals were found when they went to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
And all have since been found on Earth. So what a waste going there in the first place.
Fair enough.
It's made of the same shit that this is all made of.
It's almost as if the universe is all made of the same shit.
It's almost like the moon's origins... Directly, anyway,
whatever. Directly linked to the Earth's origins.
So
fun hypothesis that
the speech Nixon. So you remember that scene where they have the speech about if the astronauts failed?
Yeah, yeah.
That really happened. Like that speech was actually written.
That was a nice speech.
It was a nice speech, and it was actually written by Nixon's. Look, to be honest, I don't know if it was that exact speech that was in the movie.
But they definitely did prepare
a speech. I was going to say, and it was called the, in the event of moon disaster speech that Nixon would make in the event that something went wrong.
That's pretty interesting. Like, and it was like genuinely sort of touching. I was like, oh, I sort of felt bad as if they had died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. For another fun fact, this isn't really related, but it's just another thing they omitted from the movie.
Keep going.
Buzz Aldrin accidentally broke the circuit breaker that was going to be used to fire the main engine to launch the lunar module off.
God.
You absolute flog, Aldrin. and they used a felt tip pen to activate it anyway and set it off. Look, there was concern that they might not be able to take off. They would have been able to reroute the circuit somewhere. Like, it was since been trialed in simulations and they would have been able to do it. But at the time, they're like, ah, no, what are we going to do? Stick a pen in there, wrench it down or whatever, however they did it.
Yeah.
So, Buzz Aldrin, you dickhead, get your shit together.
At the risk of talking about the movie...
Yes.
Was Buzz Aldrin actually just a jerk? Just the worst fucking person?
This is the thing I researched the hardest, because it wasn't on History vs. Hollywood. And I looked into it a lot. And Buzz Aldrin... Look, he's currently suing his children for trying to take money away from him.
Jesus Christ.
He's allegedly suing them that they're trying... Because they put in a plea that he's getting dementia and he's losing memory and he's no longer capable of taking care of himself or his finances. I don't know how true that is. He says it's all bullshit and he's suing them because of it. So...
America! Yeah, no, that's
a fun situation.
Okay, that does sort of like
he's not bald though.
Okay,
he's balding, like he's got a receding hairline, but he's had a full head of hair his whole life.
And he's also what 412 now? Like
he's quite old now.
He certainly wasn't.
He's still kicking around.
He certainly wasn't. It was the bad guy from Ant-Man that played him, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Certainly wasn't Yellow Jacket.
One thing is that that makes me think it might be accurate, was that there is one good photo of Neil Armstrong actually on the moon. There's the video footage, obviously, but the video footage is terrible, and I got another fun fact about why in a minute. But excuse me while I take a drink.
Do you want to put the squeaky dick lid back on that thing, too?
No, I refuse. What was I saying? Buzz Aldrin. So, apparently, there's one good photo of Neil Armstrong on the moon, and it's him taking gear out of the lunar lander module. There's a photo of Buzz Aldrin saluting the flag, and there's a couple of other good photos of Buzz. And he was allegedly going to be... He was allegedly swapping to take a photo of Neil when they got a call from the president, Nixon. Which, obviously, when you get a call from the president, you got to...
You answer.
You answer it. Particularly when you're on the moon. Interesting.
Yeah, I'd be like, sorry, I'm busy. I'm on the fucking moon.
And anyway, then there's no good photos of Neil. And some claim that it's because Buzz Aldrin was trying to hog the limelight. But Buzz Aldrin has also said that he feels bad that there are no good photos of Neil on the moon.
Also, if I was on the moon, I would want as many photos as possible.
Yeah,
and I would be trying to hog the limelight.
Of course. Just to have... Because you're also an asshole. Yeah. And a bald asshole, Buzz Aldrin.
Yes.
That's a complete conjecture. I've just made that up.
Oh, man.
Quick note.
Yeah.
Now, remind me, was there... In the movie, was there a scene where Neil got really emotional as he came back in the lunar module?
I don't think so.
Because there's a great photo of Neil Armstrong... this is in the lunar module once he's got his helmet off. And he's got this smile on his face and tears in his eyes, like he's welling up with happiness. It's an incredible photo of him because it's just pure, like, wonder. It's like human wonder captured in a photo.
Joy.
Yeah, like proper joy. And it's an incredible photo. And if there's not that scene in the movie... Because honestly, it was the end of that movie. I was busting for a piss, so I don't remember.
Yeah, and I remember being quite sleepy as well.
Yeah. James didn't know.
So apparently, it sounds as if him leaving the bracelet on the moon was...
I was getting to that, so...
Yeah, go on.
I'll go through my other notes. That's kind of at the end.
Yeah.
Basically, all the technology is accurate. That's easy.
Mm.
The reason the cameras were so bad, this is another fun fact I learned. So, the camera folds down out of this side of the lunar module, just like it does in the movie. I don't think they showed it in the movie, but he actually picks the camera up and does a sweeping shot of the surface, and then he puts it on a tripod. Fun fact, the cable didn't unwind properly, so it was a tripping hazard for the whole EVA operation, but OH&S be damned, you're on the moon.
What are they going to do?
But the
virus,
what the cameras were used to send the signal back was on a... I didn't write down the what type of...
Yeah, specifically, but yeah, that's fine.
What it meant was you couldn't broadcast that footage. So what they had was, they had that footage going to a special screen that had a camera in front of it, filming the screen going back to the broadcast. And that's why the footage of the first moon landing is fucking garbage. And the original tapes are probably destroyed.
I doubt that.
There's no record of their existence. NASA hasn't released them or anything, so it's suspected that they were written over because they're just data tapes. You know, they're like data tapes, so they're probably written over for other missions.
Yeah.
Back in the... Still, this was the 60s and 70s, you got to remember.
Yeah. I don't know.
All the American flags left on the moon were bleached, which is amazing. You got to, Buzz Aldrin and Neil's flag was basically knocked down before it, before they even left. All remaining flags white. US went to the moon 6 times with people.
I think you're reading a page you've already read.
Yeah, no, I just repeated. I was skipping ahead in my brain.
Okay.
The quarantine, also very accurate. They took that very seriously.
That would make sense. It's a bit of a lol now, because the most sanitary place in the world is probably the moon.
Well,
in the world. Lol. In the... Well, fuck, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Fucking... Bloody stick a fork in him, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, he's fucking well and surely cooked.
So, the world coming together is a big deal in the movie.
Well, one of the interesting parts of the movie that I'm not sure you'll have anything written on was the protests about it. And all the people saying, why are we spending millions of dollars to go to the moon when there are people starving here? Which was an interesting argument that I don't think I really could have disputed at the time.
Here's the thing. From my understanding, that is real, but I did no specific research on it.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to bring it up because it was like a 5-second bit in the film that seemed to be like, well, I'd want a documentary on this.
Here's the thing, though. Going to the moon is a great human accomplishment that we did, and it's great, but it was pointless.
It was utterly pointless,
an absolutely pointless endeavor. Everything the Russians did was way more useful.
Yeah. Yeah, and we still use it today.
They got satellites in space and they got people in space. Both things still happen. No one lands on the moon anymore because it's just impractical and there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's no point. But, I mean, if you could make some sort of... I don't know, I'm sure there's some useful thing we could be doing with the moon, but there's no point and it's too vital to Earth life to risk fucking it up.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want nations warring over the moon, because if you actually launched a nuke on there or something dumb like that, or fucking and anything, you'll cause tidal waves on Earth.
And despite all the surrender flags on the moon, it can't be owned by anyone.
Yeah.
As decreed by everyone.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's technically like a national park.
Well, so the United Nations, which obviously is a bit of a, you know, is not exactly the most powerful entity, but the United Nations decrees the moon can be owned by no nation it belongs to, you know, everyone for research.
Yeah.
Same as Antarctica.
Yeah.
Is, despite having territories technically, has been decreed a... look, go watch the CGB Cray video on it. He explains it way better than I do.
Yeah, definitely.
So, this is an interesting one that I quite enjoyed. So, the song that Neil and Janet dance to in the movie is a song they did genuinely listen to together.
Yeah.
And he did take with him on the mission.
Nice.
And it was called Lunar Rhapsody.
Yeah, that's cute.
Which is cute.
And a good segue if we had saved it, but we didn't.
I should have saved that.
Yeah, you should have.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah, you really fucked up, didn't you, Sam?
We could cut it out and do it at the end.
Nah, it's fine.
All right.
Keep going.
Neil's daughter really did die of a pneumonia-related incident because she had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
He did decide the best thing to do was keep working. What's his name? Ed White? Ed White, yeah. The other astronaut genuinely lived next door.
Right, okay.
And there's a scene they filmed but cut from the movie where the Armstrongs' house burnt down and they nearly all died.
And that really happened?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And,
that's heavy.
And, like, Neil had to, like, he was, like, throwing... Like, he was, like, dropping his kids out of, like, second story windows to Ed White.
Mm.
Like, Ed White saved his family.
That's amazing.
And then Ed White died, for real, in that Apollo 10 explosion. Apollo 10? Yeah.
That's fucked.
With those other two astronauts.
That's...
And I knew that was genuinely happened going into the movie.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd address it. But I didn't realise that they were such close... Like, they were close. Close enough that they lived next door, you know, so...
Mm. Like, geographically.
Geographically like close,
yeah.
And I assume they had quite a good friendship, but they...
Nah.
But the movie got, like, they genuinely were close. Played by, yeah. And Ed White was played by...
I know his
Jason
face.
Jason Clark.
Okay, yeah.
Who was, Terminator...
Yeah.
John Connor in the new Terminator movie. That was bad. But Jason Clark's a good actor.
Yeah, I think he is.
So that's a fucked thing that actually happened. Three astronauts died because of an oxygen leak.
Mm.
And, yeah.
So, when...
But the scene where Neil is holding the glass and it cracks,
yeah,
that's fabricated. That right. particular scenario didn't happen exactly, but they originally had a scene where Neil, like, was it had the phone and he, like, smashed the receiver into it or something, and in the script, and they were like, nah, Neil wouldn't have done that. That's not Neil. So they replaced it with the thing with the glass, and they're like, that is much... Like, that closer, didn't happen, yeah. But this is... That is Neil as a person.
Yeah.
Like, he would have clenched it so tightly he accidentally did it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
the Lunar Lander?
Yeah.
See, the Lunar Lander training scene, where he crashes it?
Yeah.
That really happened.
Oh, cool.
And he really ejected seconds before it would have been too late and he would have died. However, he didn't burn his face.
Right.
Like yeah. he did in the movie. He bit his tongue.
That's fair enough.
Yep.
When researching to, like, make this movie,
yeah.
did it have any particular source material? Was it based on an autobiography or anything like that?
There is one official autobiography,
yeah.
and it is based on that.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote that autobiography has, like, a co-writing credit or, like, a special thanks credit or something on this.
Right, okay. For...
And he interviewed Neil personally. So, Neil died in 2012, so
yeah.
he obviously wasn't able to... Yeah. help on this.
Because it almost felt like... Did you see The Theory of Everything?
Yes.
Yeah, the biopic
with
about...
With Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, yeah. The biopic about Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, who died recently, which is real sad.
Fuck, this planet is just getting less and less enticing to stay on. yeah, like, so I was unaware watching that movie that it was basically... That it was based on the autobiography of the wife. And,
yeah.
And how, and like, cause it seems like, it almost seems like the same sort of thing. Like, this was yeah. a movie written about how bad it was to be married to this weird person.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Which is sort of a weird thing to say about a movie like this, because it really did honor him quite well.
Yeah.
But it was like this, he was a weird customer, and only weird customers could have been good astronauts. Like, because he was weird is why he got to the position that he got into.
Yeah, well, he, by all accounts, he wasn't weird. He just wasn't that emotional, which isn't unusual.
Not
like
really,
he wasn't like a cocky flyboy like a lot of pilots are.
Mm.
Like a lot of the other astronauts were.
Mm. Yeah.
But the wife was largely unknown as well until this movie came out.
Right, okay.
And so were like his sons.
Yeah.
Rick and... Mark, I think the other one's name was.
Yeah.
And apparently he did sit down and talk to them before he left. Mm. Apparently the younger son, Mark, was too young to remember it. But Rick, the older son, does remember it and does remember that he wouldn't have said, "Are you coming back?" Because at the time he was sure he was coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the correct way to behave around the kids. You don't...
Yeah.
There's no preparing small children for the inevitable death of their father. You can't do it. I was more interested to know whether he was reluctant to have the sit down and talk with him. Because I feel like that's something that, like, you'd have to be an actual broken person to not understand that that's the right thing to do, to say goodbye to your kids, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, not a proper goodbye, but, you know, I'm off now and I'll miss you and it's dangerous and, yeah.
There's no way to know on that, I don't think.
No, because, but, like...
I haven't found any notice of that, but...
But the that's the is... sort of stuff I mean as, like, it felt like a movie about how bad it would have been to be married to him.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. The thing with Janet seems almost entirely fabricated, because in all my research, I couldn't find anything about her.
Right, okay, so and it's admittedly, just adding drama.
It wasn't extensive, and I didn't read the autobiography.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure she featured in heavily.
Hmm.
But, and I'm sure it was all based on her, like they got her right, because they did a lot of research with us, you know, with the children, and she's still alive, so I think. So they would have been able to speak to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if the stuff with her was stuff that happened or was invented as a, this probably happened kind of thing.
Hmm.
Also in that category, it not probably happened that, but it's not entirely definitely didn't happen, was the thing with the bracelet. So it is entirely fabricated. Mm. However, Neil did go to the edge of, it's called the Little West Crater.
Yeah.
To take photos.
Yeah.
He was there alone. Didn't tell anyone what he did.
Yeah.
And the astronauts did have a box of personal items that they took with them.
Yeah.
And astronauts would often leave stuff on the moon that were personal to them.
Mm. So it's not a complete and stretch, but
his box had a manifesto that was apparently lost. So no one knows what was in Neil's box. Right. And he never told anyone because he was a bit of an enigma, as was common. So it's completely invented, but it could have happened in our real world.
Mm. Which is fine as long as people don't, you know, think that it actually happened.
Well, watching it, I was like, that's a bit weird. I'm sure that didn't happen. But in researching it, I'm like, it's
more plausible than you thought.
But the fact that it's more plausible than I thought is interesting.
Yeah. And hopefully that's the sort of response people get. I don't know. It seems like we shouldn't be lying in these situations.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And finally, the final note I have is Neil and Janet are divorced in 1994 after a long separation.
Right. And so he
married someone else 2 months later who was 15 years his,
junior,
which is fine.
Good on him.
It happens.
Yeah, now, really interesting movie, and
I quite enjoyed it, actually.
I think I did too, but again, it did feel like it's not a... If it wasn't about the moon landing, it would be a movie that would never get made.
Like, if, yeah, absolutely.
Like, even if Neil Armstrong was one of the most influential... Well, not influential. Even if he achieved great things, but never was the first man to walk on the moon...
Well, that's the thing.
This movie wouldn't have gotten made.
Do you want to know about the first guy that landed on the moon? This is it. Yeah. That's the point of the movie, I think.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, so that,
it's almost
like...
What you're saying is true, but it's just almost like a redundant statement.
Yeah, I posed it wrong. More to the point, if you were picking real people to base your fictional characters on...
Yeah.
Neil Armstrong, as he actually was in real life, wouldn't be someone that you'd actually... right into your fictional world.
No.
Not as a main character by any stretch.
No, probably not. Unless, by chance, he was the first guy to land on the moon.
But even then, like, you wouldn't have him be the focus of the story. You'd tell it from somebody else's point of view, because, by default, Neil Armstrong's a boring person to follow.
Sure. Although, like, those characters can work, and I think that's an example. This is an example of that, but...
See, I'm not sure if it is. I think this is just this is the best you could do with the sort of person that he was. And the whole point was to tell the story of what sort of person he was.
Yeah.
So it's fine. And like, this movie did what it set out to achieve. It's just, by its nature, it's not a very interesting watch.
Yeah.
As far as like, he's not a very compelling lead character.
Fair.
Yeah. But anyway, like, I thought that this was fine. But it's not, I don't know. I probably wouldn't recommend anyone who wasn't sort of like really interested in how the actual moon landing happened.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people kind of were expecting Apollo 13, which you probably haven't seen.
No.
But it's a much more, you see, that's a very different story.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the story of Apollo 13.
Not really.
It's a Tom Hanks movie, but it's about the third mission. This is at a point where people no longer cared about people landing on the moon.
Mm.
It wasn't broadcast to the general public or anything like that. Mm. And then something went seriously wrong with the main shuttle, and they lost oxygen, and they had to use the lunar module, that was attached to the front of their ship to fly back to Earth by slingshotting around the moon.
Yeah.
And it's a freaking cool movie and a amazing thing that happened that those three got back alive.
Mm. Yeah.
In the first place. Great movie. I do highly recommend Apollo 13. Because it's Ron Howard at his best.
Right.
And it's Tom Hanks at his best.
Okay.
With other great... Kevin Bacon's in it too, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I have heard of it. And I'm pretty sure it's been on during a rainy day at school at some point.
And I'm sure it has.
And I've just not paid any attention.
True. But the thing with this is it's a little less... This is less action-packed than that. Because this is about a mission that went wrong. And First Man is about a man who went through tragedy and ultimately was part of one of the greatest achievements of humankind.
Yeah.
So it's a very different story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
With a different purpose.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. And yeah, I agree. If you have the remotest interest
in seeing how it happened,
yeah,
then yeah, I think it's worth watching. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't. Like, if you're going into it, like, going, I really want to know what Neil Armstrong's like.
Yeah.
He's just a stoic dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
don't bother, unless you really want to know, like, the fear people felt going into it, the actual hard work that was put into it, how rickety the whole fucking operation was.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, if you're interested in that, definitely give it a watch.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one other fact that I had that was really interesting. Like, an inaccuracy. Something that was wrong about the movie.
Yeah.
Compared to real life. Oh, yes. It happened, and it wasn't faked.
Ah.
Massive inaccuracy.
I had it, I forget that.
Yeah. Because the moon landing wasn't real.
Because we never went.
Yeah, we didn't go to the moon.
Fuck. So no wonder Neil Armstrong is boring. He's a fictional character. It was an autobiography about somebody we knew nothing about because he didn't exist. Anyway.
This is a bit. It's a really dumb bit.
But the Earth's, like, flat, though, Sam. So where even is the moon?
Well,
it's a big light in the sky. Like the sun.
Look, we never landed on the moon. AIDS was invented by the CIA.
Wow.
That is a conspiracy theory, right?
That is totally, yeah, to try and crack down on, like, drug use in gay party culture, I think was the idea of the conspiracy theory, not of the government.
I mean, there's no proof that they did it, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. I mean, the proof is that it's sort of a fucking horrible disease that we're only now sort of coming to, like, really good treatments for.
This year, it was officially declared no longer a fatal disease.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. What? Like, when you consider that, like, Freddie Mercury died of it in, like, the 90s.
Yeah, like, 92? So it's
in, like...
91.
It's almost exactly in my lifetime that it went from being completely fucking crazy...
Yeah, fatal. Like, you got it, you died.
Yeah, you'll be fine, just take these pills once a day.
Yeah. And, I mean, don't try and get it.
Don't be like, challenge accepted.
But it's the research and development we've done on it so rapidly is quite impressive, it has to be said.
1991 he died, a year before I was born.
I did say 91, didn't I?
It was actually in November, so it was 3 months before I was born.
Yeah, wow. You were born in January. No.
3 months.
February.
Yes.
I can do math.
Anyway, I don't think I can.
Happy birthday for February, Cal. Yeah,
kill yourself.
Wow.
Stop with this happy birthday bullshit. So we're moving on to Bohemian Rhapsody?
That was the kind of the... Well, because I ruined the other transition.
You
and
did.
And I went with a conspiracy theory transition.
Yeah, you did.
But I was trying to think of a less horrible conspiracy theory, but there was none.
No. So did you fake that? Did you make that up off the top of your head to try and do a transition? Because I'm pretty sure that's a real conspiracy
theory. Yeah, no. I know that's a real conspiracy theory. I don't know if it was the CIA that people think did it.
Who the fuck knows what people really think? Fucking
who the fuck knows what the CIA really did? Am I right, Kel?
Yeah, no one. Where was the goddamn CIA? Okay. So, I haven't done anywhere near as much research as Sam does, apparently.
Because you're a noob. What did you think of Bohemian Rhapsody, first off?
I was a little disappointed, to be perfectly frank.
Really?
I was expecting a little bit more of, like, how... A little bit more of, like, Queen, the biopic, not Freddie Mercury, the biopic.
Right.
I didn't realise that that's what I expected, but as I was thinking about why I was disappointed by it, that's sort of what came up. I wanted to know more about how they came up with the songs, what the interactions between the band members were like, you know, stuff like that.
I kind of expected it to be a Freddie Mercury movie.
As soon as I thought of, like, why I didn't like it and came to that conclusion, I'm like, why would I think that? Like, that's a dumb thing to think.
I think the biggest problem with it was, for me, because I actually quite like, again, I quite like this one.
I did like it. I probably would watch it before watching the First Man again.
Yeah.
I'd watch this again.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably watch this again too, because it's a little more fun. First Man's a bit of a downer.
Mm, yeah, it is.
There's a lot of people dying.
And the sound, like, the score of First Man is largely nothing.
Which is kind of the point. And it's why, like, Lunar Rhapsody, when it comes on, is particularly good.
Yeah, and that moment of, like, he's actually on the moon, and it's just a sweeping shot, and it's silent.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, like, this is a convincing moment of looking out onto the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody, I think the biggest problem with it was, you start playing a song, and I just want to hear the rest of it.
Yes, and like, so the end of the movie was awesome.
So good!
Because it worked almost like a medley of the songs, rather than...
Which I assume is how the performance actually went?
I don't think so. I think they
said a 20-minute set, so that wasn't 20 minutes.
No,
so
I think they played songs in their entirety.
Mm.
But I don't remember. But, one thing I want to sort of, like, give them credit for accuracy on is the casting.
Great casting.
Everyone looks exactly like the people they're playing.
They all, like, looked great.
Like, that's the guy who played Brian May next to Brian May. I couldn't tell you which one was which.
I would have had no idea who was the
like
actor.
It was fucking perfect. Like, Freddie was just a little bit off, but I think it's because I knew his face better.
Yeah, and Freddie's a little more iconic, so you know him a bit more. But it was pretty good still.
And even the guy who played Roger
was really good.
It was, but we'll come back to that a little bit later. Like, the guy who played Roger Taylor, his name's Ben Hardy, who I'd seen in other things.
Yeah,
the blonde guy.
Yeah,
yeah. Look at this comparison here. I'll put the link in the show notes for the Hollywood versus History site. Like,
even... You mean I'll do that?
No, okay, you'll do that then. but, like, even that was a perfect casting choice from a guy that I'd seen before in other things.
Yeah.
Like, I was just really surprised at just how accurately they did all that. Obviously, John Reed, the guy played by Aidan Gillen, the Littlefinger guy.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously, they don't look very similar. but
with
nearly...
more minor characters, you start caring less. As long as you get the band right.
Yeah, and the band was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
And so, how much did you know about Freddie Mercury going into this?
Look, I knew a little bit. Obviously, I knew that he died of AIDS.
Yeah.
Because his death kicked off a big...
Yeah.
Like, a big amount of research into it.
Because it sounds like...
And as horror... And this is simultaneously a good and horrible thing. His death probably led to... more acceptance of it, less stigma around it, and probably was part of the reason we've gone
we've come up with better treatment plans.
I was going to say that we're able to treat it so well so quickly.
Mm. Well, so as far as I can tell from what reading I did get done, Freddie was pretty reclusive about the whole thing about having AIDS. Until pretty much when he was gonna die.
Yeah.
And then he sort of came out and went, you know, it's a horrible disease, join us in fighting it, you know.
Yeah.
Goodbye. And then went off and sort of quietly died on his, you know, with his friends and family. Which is pretty, pretty horrible. So, Yeah, what I didn't know, like what I sort of felt like I knew in the back of my head, but I didn't know for sure was that he was his heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, like, cause you, I think of him as just a white guy.
Yeah.
In my head.
Yeah.
Which, cause like, race, I mean, this sounds like a fucking dumb virtue signal, but I generally just don't notice when people are not white people. unless you're, you know, very obviously not.
Yeah. Like, and you just, you don't care.
No, it does not factor into most things. So I don't factor it in. So like, I was sort of like, I don't know, like, he's a Parsi, I think is the term they use to describe him in the film. Which is basically, like, I think it's Persian immigrants into India and Pakistan from, so like, they're not Indian or Pakistani, but they're from a surrounding area, and those people were a little bit more, I don't know, it doesn't matter, not the point, I never thought of him as anything but a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
So, like, hearing somebody yell at him,
Packy?
Yeah, Packy was like, what's this movie about?
And I'm like, oi, you in the crowd, fucking stand attention, I'm gonna tell you something.
Yeah. Who gives a
this
fuck?
This is fucking Freddie Mercury, man.
Do you fucking know who you're talking to? The other thing that
it's one of those things where it's like, if you could time travel, you go back in time and hit that guy. And that's like, that's what you use your one time travel stint for.
But see, what
your one time travel wish.
Fair enough, I guess.
I go back in time and hit a guy that called
Freddie Mercury a Packy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, there are a few historical inaccuracies. Mostly, though, they seem to be just to sort of like condense the timeline a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he didn't meet the girl. He didn't meet Mary, I think her name was. He didn't meet his future wife at the same gig.
Yeah, that would have been quite
that he met the band at, and in fact, she dated Brian May first.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it was only after. Yeah, anyway, but so like, there's a few little things like that just sort of like condense the timeline a little more.
Yeah.
But no huge inaccuracies as far as I can tell. And I did try and read into like what the band thought of it. And apparently this was a very accurate representation of Freddie.
Cause I might've missed it, but two members of the band had a cameo, right? They were sitting.
I missed it too.
Like I thought it was really quick, but I'm pretty sure they were two of the people sitting in the stands above the stage.
Yeah. Or yeah, I think there might have been. I didn't.
How accurate pick was up the on Live Aid stuff, do you know?
I saw screen comparisons, which we'll again link to in the show notes, and I can show you if you like, but it was pretty good. It was actually smaller in the movie than it was in real life.
Right, wow.
Like
because I was looking at Wembley in that, and I'm like, holy shit, that is so many people.
Wembley's huge, man.
I know Wembley is huge, but like, you know, usually there's a football field there.
So that's the real.
Yeah,
and that's the movie.
Yeah, shit, you're right. It almost looks smaller in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's much smaller in that shot.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And, yeah, it's a very different sort of thing. Like, they did a really good job, I thought, of capturing the feel of that crowd and the big sweeping shots that were, like, obviously CG and, like, the only points in the movie where they really used any CG. But fuck, it was like, it still looked huge.
Yeah.
Even in this film. So the Live Aid stuff I think was pretty accurate to the stage. And there was a few shots of like actual frame for frame recreations of
what
the stage was like what they were using. The biggest change was that the band never broke up.
Right.
So.
Really?
Yes. In fact, they released an album shortly before doing Live Aid. So that whole thing of them like being rusty going back onto the stage was just to add drama. Like that's just didn't happen.
I don't like that.
But see, cause what actually happened was they all said, we've been touring for the last decade.
Yeah.
We're gonna just focus on our own shit. We've got wives and kids and we can all just walk into any record place and get a solo gig. So we'll just do our solo shit for a year if we want to.
Yeah.
But later that year, they started working on the next album.
Right.
Like, so, like, they loved it and they wanted to keep working on it. And, like, there was tension But it was tension because they were all tired.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
There wasn't so much this drama. Apparently the friend who betrayed Freddie Mercury, was pretty, like the band didn't like them, and like that whole drama thing of, you know, like seemed to be real.
Right. Okay.
But like, and then the living band members did sort of sign off on this movie and said, this is all pretty accurate. Like we're happy and we want
good enough.
And they sort of wanted it done right. Because originally Sacha Baron Cohen was slated to play Freddie Mercury, which stylistically, like, he does sort of look the part.
And look, he's got some acting chops, Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's way better than he sort of deserves to be.
Well, and that people think he is.
Mm.
But there's an element of him as an actor.
You can't unsee it.
Do.
Yeah.
Because I think he could do it. Like, genuinely, I think he probably has the acting chops to do it.
Yeah.
And he looks the part.
And he can sing pretty well.
And he's all right.
In the Sweeney Todd, he belted that out.
Yeah. But he's still Borat. And that's why you can't have him play Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I think
so. He's fucking Borat, Bruno, and the Dictator.
Which I think is why his later movies became less good. I mean, not that Borat was a fucking masterpiece, but it seemed like, how can you even do these sort of hidden camera gag bits when people recognize who you are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, back to Queen.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, so did Freddie Mercury, because
go on.
Did he have a solo album in the end?
Yes, he did.
He did. And was it two or just one?
Just one. I'm pretty sure it was just one, according to what I read.
And did he stop his friendship with what's-his-name?
Yes, yeah. All of that with, I can't remember the guy's name now.
Yeah, whatever his name was.
So that all happened. He really was still, like, really close friends with Mary, his wife.
I knew that already. I think I knew that he was married and his buddy. Yeah, well, anyway.
And see, this is sort of what I was a bit upset about going into it, because I was like, I was sold on the idea of it being much more about Freddie than the rest of the band by, you know, a third of the way through, and that's about when they're on tour and there's the first sort of inklings that Freddie might be gay.
Yeah.
And he's just not emotionally connecting with his wife over the phone calls anymore.
Yeah.
And he's been away for so long, and it's like, it felt like they just sort of went, well, of course he's gay, so let's just turn off this relationship and not really mention it for a little while. And
which isn't really how it works.
It felt like there was no rising tension there. Of their relationship coming to a breakup, which I think is just me going, that's not a good way to make a movie. And it's probably not accurate to how it really happened, but...
Yeah.
But I think it was more sort of just to pace out the rest of the film better. I don't know.
Yeah, the fact that the Queen breakup was not an official breakup and it was just a rest and that they all agreed on.
Mm.
Yeah.
It makes you a little mad that they did it, but I...
Well, because...
I think it... It sort of worked as a way to sort of have them come back, have Freddie go, I need to stop being a dick. But
made the comeback nice, but in the movie, I'm like, this feels like a swing for his character.
Mm.
It didn't feel like it worked for his character.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm like, this has come out of nowhere, but I guess if it's based on real things that happened, that makes sense. But it wasn't.
No.
Which makes me kind of irritated.
What? I was a little bit surprised to see how much of a dick Freddie apparently was. Like, and that's the other thing, like, cause I haven't seen all that many Queen performances. I've more just listened to their albums.
Same.
But I knew that Freddie Mercury was a big flamboyant rock star.
Yeah.
And I just sort of never really, as soon as I found out that he was gay, I was like, that makes sense. But it never went, oh, they called their band Queen for the gay connotations, and Freddie was this larger than life, fabulous, you know, out there, crazy, flamboyant gay person. Yeah. It never really occurred to me. That sort of felt more like a stage persona in what I thought, especially because it doesn't really come across in a lot of the music, at least not in their more well known stuff.
Well, I think that's because their music is the four of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it did feel like, it did seem like that's a point they wanted to nail home, was that Freddie didn't do very well without the rest of the band sort of reining him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I was a little bit surprised to to hear that he was just that he was a bit of a dick, and that he was just so, so eager to, like, just abandon his family identity. And it's like, I sort of get that that was a pretty common thing among immigrant families.
Yeah.
But to have that be, like, a seed of tension between him and his dad, which I'm not entirely sure was real. But he definitely did change his name.
Yeah.
It sort of painted him as this, like, asshole person.
Yeah.
Who didn't care about anybody but himself and Mary.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's sort of not what he was like. At least from what I read, the reports are that he was just a really generous, like, really lovely guy. But he was larger than life and, you know, over the top about things. And it's like, I sort of don't know how much of this was meant to just drum up drama.
Right. So we're not really sure if he was a dick or not.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure, but they seemed to sign off on it, and the band was pretty heavily involved. So I don't think they would have done anything that was truly
wrong.
And that painted him in a bad light.
Yeah.
If it wasn't accurate.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it seems like they really wanted to show
Freddy.
And yeah. They knew that one of the quotes was that, if they didn't do it now and they didn't do it well, somebody else would do it worse.
Yeah, then that's.
So they wanted to really sort of
solidify. That, like, make sure you have the say in that story type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it was sort of interesting to see, but I'm really, like, I sort of hope that what I saw here, even if it was true, was sort of just the dramatic moments of Freddy's life, and that largely his life was much more happy and less tension filled. And yeah, cause I want what's best for these guys. I feel like these guys are really nice people all around. Yeah. And it seemed like they just sort of painted Freddy as a bit of a tool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm. I don't know, but yeah, so if you're, yeah, I think it's well worth seeing. If you like Queen music, you'll really like it.
I don't know if you will.
Really?
Because there's not all...
Actually,
we had a woman who was walking in front of us as we left the cinema turn around and go, "What did you guys think?" And we're like, "Oh, yeah, it's pretty good." And she was like, "I wanted more music."
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I think, is going to be most people's problem with the movie.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, now that you put it that way, I think I do agree.
Because I don't think it's a good movie. It's got a lot of music in it. But I think so many people go to this movie just wanting a Queen concert.
Yeah, which is all I wanted. Like, I turned to you at the start and went, "I forgot what we were watching. This is going to be awesome." Because I was sitting there going, "This is going to be a Queen concert." And you forgot
that Freddie Mercury had a sad end to his life.
Had, like, a life to live before. Yeah, you idiot. Apparently there were a lot of little details about how the... about the previous band and all the other owners, like, and all the other band members who actually did leave to join a band called Humpy Bong.
That's funny.
That is funny. So, like, all of that
you
was real.
Fogs. What have you done?
But apparently, one of the main reasons why the original singer left was that he was a real perfectionist.
Right.
So it's interesting that he gathered up all these people who were really talented and really good and then bailed on them, because they, you know, because he was trying to create the perfect band.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But
and then he did.
Yeah.
By accident.
By accident. Sucked in, nerd.
Because it has to be said, Queen are definitively one of, if not the best rock band to ever have lived.
Like, we were talking about it on the, like, sending James home on the train. There is no song that encapsulates the triumph of We Are the Champions.
We Are the Champions.
Like, it's dumb and really simple, but that's sort of the point.
Yeah.
And, like, people play it over all the time for that reason, and so it becomes this overplayed thing, like, "Oh, I shouldn't do this," but it is fucking perfect. One of the things that sort of annoyed me was, like, when he's in bed post-coitus with Mary.
Yeah.
And he sort of, like, just leans up and starts playing the tune for Bohemian Rhapsody on the piano. Go, "I think it has potential." And I'm like, just stop. Like, that clearly didn't happen.
Yeah.
And it's so contrived. And you're going to show us them making Bohemian Rhapsody later.
Which I quite like that sequence.
That was a really good sequence.
I also really liked, surprisingly, I liked the whole... Because the reasoning there, I was like, holy shit, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Well, and it seems to be like a thing that bands, like good bands, do regularly. Like it's a phenomenon that I saw in the Foo Fighters documentary.
Yeah.
Back and forth, where they were talking about how they would notice that how the audience that they were playing to changed. And it used to be that they were playing to like the dweebs and the outcasts, and now they're playing to the jocks. Like, now their music is popular and cool and everybody likes it.
Yeah.
And people want to jump around and mosh. So the whole point was that, like, I can't remember the name of the song now. God damn it. There's a song that starts with a really awesome bass line that's just doom, 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 doom. And like, it was all built to mosh to. Like, it seems like, a good band knows when their audience is getting bigger and they know how to write a song to go with their audience and to match that.
It's interesting though, because there's nothing quite like, like, what do you think of when you hear that?
Yeah, it dun dun t- yeah. Buddy, you're a boy making big noise playing in, like, it's classic.
Yeah.
And it's something that Queen does very well, is that really simple, almost nursery rhyme level.
Yeah.
Stadium rock.
Yeah. And it's perfect. It's basically perfect music.
Well, cause it's simplified down to its most basic parts. And it seems like, but then
built into something also unique.
Yeah. Well, cause it's almost like coming off of Night at the Opera.
Yeah.
They wanted to just make something a little bit more simple. And they went, hang on, we've gone all the way down that end of the spectrum. Let's go all the way down the Bohemian other Rhapsody, end of the... Bohemian
Rhapsody. Not simple.
Not simple at all. It's five different songs.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Also, the record executive who said they didn't want to make Bohemian Rhapsody the single.
Yep.
Loosely based on a real record executive, they did actually come up against struggles to...
I'm sure that would have with that song.
But that character's fictional.
Right.
And like, it's not a...
Michael Myers is fictional.
Mike Myers saying, no kids will ever headbang to that, didn't actually happen in real life. Right.
But is kind of
an amazing joke that I'm so glad they put in there, because I didn't even notice that it was Mike Myers at first.
I didn't until you pointed it out to me. And I knew he was in the movie in a cameo.
Yeah, it said it
I got so engrossed in the film, I think.
Mm. I think we've done a pretty good job of talking about this without actually spoiling the movie too much.
Yeah, and I think First Man we spoiled a lot more, but I think it's hard to spoil this one, I think.
I think people should go and watch it.
Yeah, I do too. I think people could... look, if you do like Queen music, go into it, but don't expect a concert. Expect Freddie Mercury the movie.
Mm. And if you don't like... if you don't like Queen music, but you like... But you want to know what it was like to be a racial outcast, a sexual outcast, and a rock star all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that, it's a pretty rare combination of traits.
And just be aware of those differences.
Yeah.
I think those are important things. Just like the whole Neil dropping the bracelet thing, I think it's important people know that that didn't happen.
Mm.
I think it's also important that people know that Freddie and the band didn't break up in that way.
Yeah.
Like, Freddie didn't fuck the band.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't a huge dick move on his behalf.
Yeah.
And check out Hollywood v. History, or History v. Hollywood. I can't remember which way around it is. There'll be links in the description.
Yeah, Hillary. History versus Hollywood. Because quite good website.
Very
thorough.
Inadvertently stumbled across the same one because it seems to be a really good source for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not comprehensive by any means, but really good.
But gives you... Because when you see a movie, you're like, did this happen? And the website will tell you, no, this happened. And that's the point. I did a little additional research of my own.
Yeah, same.
We stated.
But it's a good starting point. It's a really good
starting point to, then springboard to your own research. And they have some sources.
Mm. We're not sponsored, but... Hey, buddy, we'll
start a whole podcast where we just talk about...
I would do the official History versus...
I would too.
...thing podcast.
Get in touch with us.
I mean, assuming somebody else does all the research and I'm just the figurehead.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm just the voice.
You've got to be the voice.
Yeah.
The buttery biscuit voice.
Great. Now I'm going to have buttery biscuit bass stuck in my head forever.
You're welcome.
You jerk. I was looking forward to having Queen stuck in my head. So now I've got Swede Mason stuck in my head.
This is called Bohemian Rhapsody versus first man, but I don't think it's really a verse, is it?
No, we're not comparing them at all.
It's more like Bohemian Rhapsody and first man versus history.
Yes! That's a good one. Do that.
I feel like we're just ripping off the name of...
Nah, it's fine. It's fine.
Is it?
Yeah.
We could call it the true stories of Bohemian Rhapsody and First Man.
Five amazing facts and one that will surprise you. And one you probably did know. Anyway, is that what we're doing? We're BuzzFeed now?
I'm going to change the logo on the website to BuzzFeed now.
No! No!
It's already done, Cal. I just did it.
Oh, well, fair
enough.
What
are we at, Cal?
We're at long past the hour.
Oh, really?
No. we're just at the hour mark.
Oh, perfect.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, kids.
Yeah, follow us at Video Shop Pod. Is there anything else that we missed that was real and not real or whatever? Let us know.
Yeah, if you're a close personal friend of Freddie Mercury or Neil Armstrong, tweet us.
Yeah.
And we'll do lunch. We'll do brunch.
If you're in Melbourne, I don't want to travel too far.
No, I'll travel. You have to pay for it. So I haven't got any money. Patreon.com. See you, nerds.